Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. Hallie, you are a busy bee with all of the different amazing, incredible advocacy work that you do while still being a university student and doing a bunch of extracurriculars that I know we're going to get into. But before we dive into all of that, what is your Campus Chronicles story?
So I have a very unique path to obtaining my bachelor's degree. Historically, it's a 4-year degree, but it has taken me 7 years in order to see the end of the line for graduation. I have not given up, and I've kept pushing through. My Nana, my sophomore year of college, she became very ill, and I wanted to take care of her, and my family did too. So we did everything in our power to keep her at our house. But that meant me focusing a lot of my time on her, and I would stay up all night long, and I would help her during the middle of the night, and I would go to school in 20 minutes of sleep. And I pushed through that part of my life, and then COVID came. And I'm a neuroscience major, so I have a lot of labs. And my university kicked all of our labs online. I said, I'm not paying for my labs online. So I took one or two classes during that time online, but that also backlogged my expected graduation date. Mm-hmm. I kept pushing through because I have this passion for helping those with cerebral palsy, like my brother Trent. And so I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and I realized my passions and my motivations were pushing me forward. I could have very easily given up, but I didn't. And so now I'm expected to graduate in December, and I'm seeing that finish line, and I'm so excited, and I can't wait.
Oh, I bet you really can't wait.
Yes. It's been a long road, but it's so worth it when you have those passions propelling you forward.
Well, congratulations on that finish line being just a couple months away. What you shared about wanting to take care of your Nana is a real testament to your heart and who you are. And your heart is really why I wanted to have you on today, because you are a neuroscience major. Let's not pretend that that's an easy major, because it's not. But I also want to shed light on the other work that you do, which is you do a tremendous amount of advocacy work that you briefly mentioned there. Talk about how you got involved in this advocacy to begin with, and then we'll discuss how you balance everything, because I want your time management tips.
Yes. So my brother has cerebral palsy, which is a motor disorder of the brain. There were a lot of mistakes made when he was born that caused him to have cerebral palsy, which is the result of some brain damage. And I have grown up with him, and I know what he's capable of, but other people don't. So in the sixth grade, I found my voice, and I found that my voice had power. I began giving a presentation to my peers because they wanted to know how to communicate with my brother. They didn't understand that they just can go up and talk to him, that he's just like everyone else. And I explained that to them. Later, after I had given that presentation to my peers at a football game, later that night, my friends were talking to my brother without me being around. And in that moment, I knew that I had power. So I just kept talking to anyone and everyone that I knew that those with cerebral palsy are just like anyone else. They just move differently, which has led me to today, where I've impacted the lives of over 75,000 people. I've partnered with national platforms, and my advocacy just keeps going and going and going.
So I want to highlight, this is a beautiful university student who has done this much advocacy. For those that are not familiar with what you do, though, give us just a brief snapshot of all you've done within your advocacy work.
Yes. So I raise funds for the Cerebral Palsy Alliance Research Foundation, as well as United Cerebral Palsy, to help propel that research forward so we can better treat those with CP and we can diagnose CP earlier. I also have a free children's activity book that teaches our next generation what it means to have cerebral palsy, and then they're just like us, they just move differently. And I also do a lot of social media work highlighting the experiences that my brother and others have had, that they enjoy things in life just like us. They just have to do it a little bit differently than us.
One thing I really want to spotlight is I can't imagine it's easy balancing taking care of yourself, balancing your academics, your studies, alongside all of this advocacy work. And I can imagine you have shifting priorities and a bit of a push and pull sometimes on what takes your attention. How do you manage it?
I think having priorities and having your passions at the core of what you are doing helps you realize where you need to dedicate your time. Right now, I'm finishing out that final semester and I have a lot of hard classes. And so my top priority right now is finishing that degree. But at the core of that degree is my passions for helping those with cerebral palsy lead a fulfilling life. And in order to do that, once I get my degree, I can push that research forward. I can help propel my advocacy as well. It's things like that that help me keep me motivated. Of course, my CP advocacy is something that's huge and it's a part of my everyday life. So finding that balance for me means, okay, what can I do today to make tomorrow better?
How do you find the balance to take care of you because you're always pouring into other people?
I'm a firm believer in you can't pour from an empty cup. So if I'm exhausted, I know that I can't help my brother. I can't help people like him. I won't succeed in my academic studies. So I make sure to take that time out every day to journal. I'm a huge journaler. I have probably about 5 that I carry around with me every day. One for my schedule, one for my advocacy, one for my schoolwork, and then one for my emotions. I also believe in fueling your body with food. I don't look at food as a pleasurable item, but rather food for my body in order to do the work that I need to do. And that's how I balance that juxtaposition of pouring into others, but also pouring into myself.
Did you say you keep a journal for your emotions?
Yes, I do.
Expand on this.
So when I was a freshman in high school, my dad was tragically killed in a motorcycle accident on his way to work. After that, I didn't know how to comprehend what was going on. I struggled. I turned to food as a source of comfort, gaining nearly 50 pounds in 1 year. And I sat down with myself one day and I was like, this is not what my dad would want for my life. He would want me to be productive. He would want me to go make a difference in the lives of those around me. And so I decided I had to do something. And I turned to journaling and I got my health back on track. And I reclaimed that healthy lifestyle that I had previously before he passed. Now, whatever emotions I have, I write them down. I analyze them and say, okay, let's look at this in a positive light. Also, my faith, I'm a huge believer in God. And my faith has helped propel me through as well.
When you look at that emotion journal, like as you're going through your busy lifestyle and your busy days, do you notice patterns?
When I am very stressed out, I notice that there's more heightened emotions. But I also, throughout these years, have realized how to recognize those and what I need to do for myself in order to get back to who I am in the positivity and spreading. And that's how I get that energy back into my cup so I can pour into others.
Mm-hmm. One thing I love about what you're saying, right, is you have this deep desire and this deep heart to serve. Yes. And there is sometimes misinformation, in my opinion, or negative opinions about the younger generation that's coming up. Sometimes people say that they focus too much on social media or they're not caring enough. But you're in a shining and really, truly wonderful example of somebody from a younger generation making a profound difference. How do you think you being this advocate, doing this work, shows other people that they can make a difference?
I think if you look at my story, it's very easy for someone in my position to give up. Mm-hmm. But when you have the light of Jesus within you and you have this passion to make a change in the world, you can really do incredible things. I look at my brother every day as my motivation, and he is the key factor in everything I do. He's the reason that I'm pursuing neuroscience, because like you said, it is not easy.
It's not an easy course of study, not even a little bit.
No, it's not. But when you realize your why, and when you solidify that, you are able to do incredible things.
What would you say to someone who wants to start advocacy or wants to start speaking out, but they're scared of how other people might think about them?
Just do it. Yes. I think that jumping into the pool of advocacy can sometimes be scary for people. I know for me, it took me getting up in front of a whole classroom of sixth graders that all have their own opinions. But what I've realized is when you have a passion and you have that drive inside of you and you have motivation from those around you to make a change, you can do it. Always keep your why. When you have a strong foundational why, everyone's opinions do not matter.
I love that. And how, for someone that has not cultivated a why, how do you do that? How did you do that as an example?
So I was pretty young when I figured out my why, but it's because I realized that people around me viewed my brother differently than I did. And I said, why do people look at him and just see his wheelchair? He is so much more than that. And I want to make a change. And I made that change by talking in my sixth grade classroom. And so anyone that's looking to form their why, look for something that you feel like is wrong in this world, that you want to change. How did it affect you? What is your story? And what can you do to make a difference about it?
Mm-hmm. And there is so much that does need to be shifted and does need to be changed in our world. So you really are not going to have to look that hard to find something that you feel passionately about and that you want to make a difference regarding. Callie, I want to shift this conversation in a slightly different direction because it's a curiosity question from me. Have you ever come across someone who perhaps underestimated you because of your age as you do this work?
Yeah, I think people look at me and they realize that I'm young, but then I tell them everything that I've done and what I stand for, and then they kind of open their eyes. I've had people doubt me from all aspects. But like I said, when you have that why and that motivation, like I look at my brother and those haters become my motivators. That's a big phrase that I use in my house. But when I have those people that look at me and say, you're young, you can't do this, I say, watch me.
Mm-hmm. You are truly a testament to, I think, just having so much passion and fire. And if I may, I would really like to have half the energy in a day that you have. If I could just siphon some of your energy, that would be nice. That would be great.
Yes.
Speaking of energy and time management, what does a typical day look like and your schedule? How do you manage your time?
I love to journal. I do this thing. It's called schedule blocking. Mm-hmm. So I break my day up into however many minutes I need to allocate for something. Today I was up at 6 a.m. to drive to Bowling Green to take my organic chemistry class. And then God bless my mom, she took me to school. So on the way home, I worked on homework. And I think it's just finding those little pockets in the day where you can get something off your to-do list. I always take my to-do list, I break it down, I allocate the time for it. And if I don't get it all done, I just shift it to the next day. And calendars and schedules are my best friend.
How do you avoid distractions, especially in a world that's full of them, particularly on social media?
Yes. I use an app called Focus Friend on my phone. And you basically set this timer and it locks you out of all of your apps. You don't get any notifications. And when I have to be locked in on something, whether it's school or my advocacy, I turn that on for 2 hours and I don't look at my phone at all. I also have timers on my social medias, so I only allocate so much time a day to be scrolling or posting or whatever I need to be doing on there.
If you spend so much time on social media, and I know I'm certainly guilty of this, it's easy to become chronically outraged by the things you see, but that puts you in a position and a state where you're essentially stuck. You feel paralyzed because the problems feel insurmountably big.
Yes, I agree with that. That's why limiting your time on social media the best you can is one of the biggest tools to be successful and to become a leader in society.
I would really like to dive into the 7 years bachelor conversation, because I'm sure at points during that journey, you felt really, really exhausted and I'm sure thankless. As a seven years for essentially what is generally speaking a 4-year degree, what have you learned about being in that bachelor's program longer throughout the 7 years that you didn't think you would learn in 4?
Your path is defined by your path, not anyone else's. Comparison is the thief of joy. The path that I'm going is unique and it's different than all of my peers around me. But when I take that step back and I say, okay, in these 7 years, what has happened? I've been backlogged by the pandemic. I started a business during that time as well. I really ramped up my cerebral palsy advocacy, and I've got a valuable education instead of just a diploma. I know sometimes people will dive in and they'll take 19 credit hours because they want to get the degree done. But I look at education as the foundation for what is next. You can't have a rocky foundation. And if I would have taken those classes during the pandemic, I would have had a rocky foundation for my next chapter in life. Mm-hmm. I had to choose that for me because that's what was best at the time. For someone else, their story might be different. But not attending labs because we were all locked in our houses is not something that I wanted to do. I wanted that valuable, crispy education instead of just the piece of paper at the end of the tunnel.
I love that. Did you ever feel any sort of guilt or shame over the decision, or were you always pretty steadfast?
There were times where I was upset that I was going to graduate later than everyone else around me, and I feel like their life was propelling before mine. But my mom and I sat down and had a conversation about it, and she agreed with my decision. She said, "You're in college for an education, not for a piece of paper. If we're going to be paying for this, you're going to get that robust education." And I think having that conversation with her was something that helped me change my mindset and realize that my path is my own and not to compare it to anyone else's.
Moms are so special.
Oh my gosh, yes. My mom is the most wonderful person that I've ever met. She will give the shirt off her back to someone if they need it.
That's beautiful. And I love what you said about the foundation for your next chapter. Yes. What is the foundation that you're building today for your next chapter, and how are you building it?
So my next chapter is going to get a master's of psychology. And by building that foundation, I need to have those good classes, be studying my neuroscience classes very intensely and very deeply, but also absorbing the information so I can go and obtain that master's of psychology, which is my next step. But it's also to further my advocacy work. That's something that's deeply important to me, as anyone who's listening has figured out by now. And in order to have that solid foundation, I need to continue to advocate in any area of life that I can, regardless if it's just going into a smoothie shop and speaking my mind about there not being a door that my brother is able to open, or going and saying, hey, this trash can's inaccessible because someone that uses a wheelchair can't open it. It's little things like that that help build that solid foundation to get on that larger stage and confidently share my message.
Is the goal to become Dr. Gregory?
Yes, it is.
I assumed.
Yes. I want to become a pediatric neurologist. That's my end goal. My brother was doubted by a lot of neurologist because of what some brain scans said. And I know that's not true, so I want to give my patients hope. And that's the end goal, regardless of how long it takes me to get there. That's the end goal.
Well, from the conversation we've had, I don't think it'll be too challenging for you to stay motivated with the tools that you're using. And I think really just the passion and the energy that you have as a person. I want to ask you an interesting question. So if you were going to give three pieces of advice to university age students, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Don't compare yourself to others. Comparison is the thief of joy. That's advice number one. Advice number two, your path is your own. Regardless of how you get there, it doesn't matter. As long as you finish what you started. And piece number three, have motivation outside of just getting a diploma to your degree. Regardless if that's, I want to help kids. I want to make a difference in my community. Or like me, I want to help those with cerebral palsy lead a fulfilling life.
Callie, as we wrap up, is there anything you want to share that I did not ask you?
Oh, my. We have discussed so much, but I think with our viewers, really, I would like to share to stay motivated at the core of who you are. Solidify that why early on in your university journey, because when you have a why that's bigger than a degree, you are more motivated to propel forward. You're excited about learning. You can achieve so much more when you have that passion and motivation outside of just a piece of paper.
That's beautiful. I've had so much fun with you, Callie. If someone loves this conversation, they want to find your social media platforms to learn about your work and the stuff that you're doing, where do they go?
I'm on Facebook as Callie Gregory, and I'm also on Instagram as @CallieGregory_.
Thank you. I think your message really resonated for me. I likely have not shared this on the podcast before, but similar to Callie, I started in volunteering, advocacy, service, whatever word you would want to use fairly young. I trained therapy dogs and then took those to nursing homes. And like Callie, I actually have a children's book. So I love to spotlight people who have something that they truly and deeply care about and then what they do with that in the world. And I think Callie is a beautiful example of this is my lived experience. These are the things that I have seen. And here's how I'm going to choose to serve to make the world a better place, because we all want the world to be kinder, more receptive, more loving. But until we actually take the action that we can take, that we have a passion for, the world will likely be stagnant. So huge applause to people like Callie who are balancing university, who are balancing coursework, balancing jobs, and still doing all this. So you have a lot of applause from me, and I know from all of our listeners too. So thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful. And I wish all the viewers luck with their university journey and their life journey.
Well, Callie, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you everyone for joining us on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast. So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.